Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Friday on The Usual Suspects. That means it's an F-Yeah Friday if you're a loyal suspect and know how we do what we do around here. Nick's here, Barry's here, I'm here, and we're going to take you for the next 3 hours getting you ready for a big football weekend. Lots more to discuss. Billy O'Brien with a little tantrum that everybody's talking about. And lots more. Fellas, what is going on?
What's up, man?
What's going on, folks?
All good. All good.
How was everything?
Everything is everything.
No rain, no tornado yet.
It's coming.
North Side is in one piece.
Yeah, that's got me worried. Steven Uzik is like, if he posts something on SportsMap about weather, it's going to be ugly.
Yeah.
So that always worries me.
They're saying, as I said yesterday, it's going to start with about a 40% chance of rain this afternoon. And then tonight, in the overnight hours between midnight and 3 a.m., the risk of tornado after heavy rain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
And then it's supposed to start moving out. They said Sunday's supposed to be beautiful. I don't know how the rest of Saturday's going to go. But I know overnight tonight is when the majority of the bad stuff's supposed to be here.
Well, fingers crossed that we make it through. I'm going to lose lights because Center Point sucks ass and can't keep my lights on. I swear, if I spit on the sidewalk, the lights go out. If I fart, the lights go out. So it's like, well, I'm going to lose lights tonight for sure.
So is that what happened here today?
No.
You had a little bad stretch of gas that you always blame me for, and suddenly...
Can we talk about this building for a second?
Yeah.
I went to go boo-boo before the show.
Yeah.
No water. How do you lose water when you lose lights in a building?
So if people don't realize this, we were all sitting there in a side studio about, what, an hour ago?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this massive explosion-like boom happened.
And that wasn't me farting.
No. And Nick immediately was like, Transformer blew again. And all at the same time, simultaneously, all the lights went out in the studios and in the offices. But because we have a backup, no one ever got went off the air. Charlie and Jose were fine. But the lights have subsequently not come back on in the building anywhere. They sent us an email that said, you can't use the elevators. Yep. So you had to be HR huffing stuff on the way up the stairs.
Yep, that hurt.
And then the peculiar thing that Barry mentions is, I did the same thing. You go to use the restroom and you realize there's no running water in the toilets, urinals, or sink because the electricity's out.
How does one affect the other? I don't understand that. Is it an electric hot water heater? But you would think cold water would still flow. I don't understand it. But I'll tell you what, don't shake my hand because I went to
Purell at the front desk.
I peed and then I was like, well, at least I'll wash my hands. The toilets don't flush. I had soap in my hands.
Yeah.
And then turned the sink on, no water. So I was like, okay, this is gross.
I went to the front desk and used the Purell.
Yeah, I need to do that.
And was able to circumvent the lack of water. So, but yeah, I'm with you. I don't understand.
If I crap my pants during the show, that's because there's no toilets to flush. Just FYI.
Well, the third floor looks pretty bad right now because when I went
You went down there?
Yeah. I'm not just talking.
You just didn't drop a deuce?
I didn't. I couldn't. There were just it was all nasty.
Well,
wait, time out. Can we rewind for 1 second? You just said if you crap your pants,
yeah,
it's because the water's not working.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, you can still.
I'm not going to be that guy.
You can drop off and wipe.
Nope. Not going to be that guy.
And you then flush later.
No. You think I'm going to be the guy that goes in there and doo-doos and leaves it because it can't be flushed? You're not pinning that
and
on wipes, me, Ricky Bobby.
Let me just say this.
You're not putting, because you know
if
who's the
choices
first person,
are, I'm going to crap myself or I'm going to go do that and then go back and flush later.
Nope.
Hell yes, I'm going to dump on that.
First person I'm going to have to hear from is AJ's dumbass telling me, you pooped and didn't flush. Nope, I'm not going through
that. He is the flush police.
I'm not going through that. I'll just poop my pants. That's going to be the day.
He hides in the corner in the stall and goes, I didn't hear you flush.
Yeah, it's weird. He's
did you use two pumps of soap? Because I was listening.
He listens to your bathroom habits.
He knows when you were duking.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Santa Claus song. So we don't have power in the office per se, but we're on the air, so you're welcome.
We're doing it big.
Yeah. So and
does it feel does that mean we have no AC? Because it's kind of warm and
No, I think we're fine. Okay. I mean, I don't know that we have AC, but I think it's fine in here.
May have to do this with the door open if it gets hot.
Oh, boy. Just tough it out, dude.
No. I got a boo-boo. I'm hot. No.
So you legitimately are going to crap your pants instead of using the toilet.
It's a possibility.
Well, let's go back to the story of yesterday with the two buckets of water. Because if you had the trailer park with two buckets of water, you could have the one bucket with the waste and the one bucket with the water.
See?
You'd be fine.
See?
Pour your own water in the toilet. It flushes all by itself. You'd be fine.
See? Not happening. I'm going to control myself.
You get enough C-Force water, and you just dump it all in the bowl.
There you go.
That's true.
There you go.
There you go.
I'm trying to solve problems for you.
There you go.
All right, so plenty to talk about today. We know today's the day as we preview the big final four games left in the NFL for the weekend. Four big games, two Saturday, two Sunday, including your Texans and the Chiefs on Sunday afternoon. So there's that to get to. We've got everything that happened last night in the NBA, including in OKC, where Russ had a triumphant return individually, but the Rockets, not so much.
That was ugly.
So, yeah, so there's that. There's a Twitter spat. Kevin Durant was at it again, first with fans, then with former teammates, and it just kept on going.
I'd be honest with you. When I saw it, I was when you told me about it, and because I hadn't seen it because I had the show last night, so I barely got to watch the Rocket game. I can't believe I stayed up for that. I was a little disappointed.
I wasn't.
It wasn't as heated as I thought it was going to be.
And it's not done.
It was kind of boring, actually.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it was boring.
What'd you think of it?
I mean, the fact that they're former teammates that used to sit on the bench next to each other, I think that adds so much drama to it. The fact that I love it. I think it's great. I mean, I have my opinion on how I think Kevin Durant should have reacted to it. Mm-hmm. But if you want to talk about it now, we can. If we talk about it later, that's cool. I have my opinions on it. I think it's cool because they were former teammates. Now Kendrick is a part of the media, so he feels like he has to have a, you know, hot take opinion.
Yeah, I think we'll get to it because I think there's some stuff to uncover here on all of it. But yeah, I got some opinions too because you're right. Former teammates aren't supposed to act that way. So and by the way, the one that everybody
says who
says the code of there's a lot of codes. You know, we say unwritten rules in baseball, but there's a lot of codes in terms of not just basketball, but overall in professional athletics where certain things, once your teammates...
So Kendrick Perkins can't have an opinion that Russell Westbrook was the greatest Thunder of all time and that not be okay?
No.
He has to say it's Kevin Durant because they're former teammates?
So there's more to the story.
Okay, but answer the question. Is he not allowed to have that opinion as a former teammate?
I don't think that he's not allowed to have that opinion by any stretch of the imagination.
So then this is on Kevin Durant for getting
butthurt. Oh, for sure it is. There's no doubt. I'm siding with Kendrick Perkins.
Okay.
There's no doubt about it. Because Kevin Durant, this is just an overall common behavior, getting to be more common every day by the fact that he's super sensitive. He reacts to everything. He's constantly clapping back. He's already gotten caught with his burner account. It's just the guy could go down legendarily if you just take it back, you rewind, and just leave him at OKC. He could go down as one of the greatest players of all time, the most likable players of all time. He, over and over again, everybody gushing. But instead, more people just continually have things that they can point fingers at, poke holes at, and go, you know, you changed the whole narrative when you joined a super team and did all the things you did. And now since then, you've literally become a little bitch.
I mean, I'm not going to call him a bitch, but I'm going to say he's sensitive. So
from a social media and just from the way he handles things, I believe that he's become a little bit. He never was, but he is now. He's completely butthurt all the time.
Yeah, there's no doubt. The best course of action for him would have just been to not respond.
Exactly right.
Just don't tweet it. I mean, do you realize how many times we delete a tweet or a response to something?
A text.
A text, yeah. It's like sometimes KD, you need to take the high road, bro.
I mean, here's the thing.
Don't
it wasn't just
it.
Kendrick Perkins. There was a guy saying then, look, bro, I grew up in Brooklyn, but I'm still always going to be a Knicks fan, and you did this wrong and that wrong, too. And he's like, but you're still going to watch. And he's clapping back to him, too. It's like, find something else to do or just stay off of social media because it's going to do you a world of good just by doing nothing.
Okay, so my whole deal is, number one, he absolutely has the right to have that opinion. Okay, but he absolutely is wrong, in my opinion, too. There's no way in hell I'm going to sit here and let you say that Russell Westbrook is the best Thunder to ever put on, best player to ever put on an OKC Thunder jersey. That's a debate we can have. I'd be happy to have it with him, okay? But what I would have done if I was Kevin Durant is not respond. You know a reporter is eventually going to ask you about it. Look like the bigger man. When they say, hey, did you see that tweet about Russell Westbrook? Do you have a response? That's when he should have given a response as opposed to responding on Twitter. That's how I think he should have. Because at the very minimum, he deserves to defend himself.
Can I say
especially
skip
when
the reporter?
It's a former teammate.
Can I say skip the reporter? If you really want to handle this like former teammates, pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. Text him. Call him. Don't put it on Twitter. Don't put it out in the middle of social media. Do it between two men, one-on-one, and go, bro, what are you doing?
What's to say he hasn't sent a text and say, hey, bro, what's your deal? Maybe there's something, a beef between them that we don't know about. And obviously he thinks he's a little bit of a bitch for leaving OKC and winning a championship with Golden State. But
and here's also, it's semantics, right? It depends on how you interpret everything. But the tweet was about Mr. Thunder. There's no doubt in my mind that Russell Westbrook is Mr. Thunder because he didn't leave. He didn't jump ship when there were holes in the boat because of them blowing a 3-1 lead to the Warriors. He signed an extension. He still would be there if Paul George didn't ask for a trade. So Mr. Thunder is one thing. Now, on the flip side, and I think this is where you're going too, if you want to talk about the greatest player to ever play for the Thunder in Thunder history, it's Kevin Durant, hands down.
No question.
But they're two different things.
Now, are you saying greatest from a skill set perspective or what he meant to being a Thunder?
There's no
I'm saying as a basketball
needed.
Player. I'm saying he's as a
better
basketball
player.
Player.
Russell Westbrook.
As an overall basketball player, Kevin Durant is the greatest player
because
to ever play for the
Thunder.
Averaging
a triple-double 3 years in a row and sticking it out with the team as far as being – Kevin Durant is a better basketball player than than Russell Westbrook.
And that's what I'm saying.
But who's a better Thunder?
That's what I'm saying. There's no doubt in my mind Russ is Mr. Thunder.
Right. And that was Kendrick Perkins' point. He said, I'm going to go live in 30 minutes and tell you why Russell Westbrook was the best Thunder to ever play for Oklahoma.
Incorrect.
He was Mr. Thunder.
Yeah.
Incorrect. Incorrect statement, in my opinion. I don't think he should. He's not. He's not the greatest Thunder. He's just not.
No, but there's a difference. Mr. Thunder is different than being the greatest player to ever play for the Thunder. If you're Mr. Thunder, you were dedicated to the OKC franchise through thick and thin, stuck it out, did everything.
Here's his quote. He said, in about 30 minutes, this is Kendrick Perkins, in about 30 minutes, I'm going to give my opinion on SportsCenter on why I believe that Russell Westbrook is the best player to have ever put on an Oklahoma City Thunder jersey. He is Mr. Thunder.
I disagree with it.
He is Mr. Thunder.
Just not true. Just not. Durant is.
Durant is a better basketball player, but when it comes to specifically the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think I you can make that argument. 3 years of triple doubles, you're sticking it out. You don't jump ship to go to a team that's 73-9, which was one of the points he made when they got in the spat. There's a lot. I mean, it's not just an open and shut case that Durant was the better Thunder.
And
he's
you
a
think
better
Kevin
basketball player.
And you think Kevin Durant wouldn't have triple doubles if Russell Westbrook wasn't on the team? You don't think his numbers would have been crazy if Russell Westbrook wasn't on the team? Russell Westbrook got those numbers because Kevin Durant wasn't there. He wasn't there. His numbers inflated when Kevin Durant left. It's kind of like the Trae Young situation in Atlanta.
Last year, he had Paul George.
Trae Young is getting all those points because he's on a sorry ass Hawks team. That's how it happened.
But here's the thing that because again, when you read the entire tweet, I see this as two separate things. And I think that if you want to talk about who's Mr. Thunder, in my mind, hands down, it's Russell Westbrook.
Absolutely.
If you want to talk about who was the best player to ever don a Thunder uniform, I would say it's Kevin Durant.
Okay.
And you would you say that is also Russell Westbrook?
No, I think if you're just talking about the better player, you have to say it's Kevin Durant, period. But I'm saying if you're talking about who meant more to that franchise, to that organization, to the community, who's Mr. Thunder, and production on the court, it's all of that leads you to Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. But just pure basketball skills, obviously, if you pick Westbrook over Durant, you're being foolish.
Here's the other thing, fellas. If this entire argument, whether it was on the phone, on Twitter, or whatever, if it would have happened in the offseason, no one would have cared.
Probably true.
But the fact that it happened on the night that Russ went back to OKC for the first time leads me to believe Kevin Durant's thirsty.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Durant did not have to do this when he did it at a time when Russ was going back for his big day, his big moment in the spotlight, going back to OKC.
Well, he's not the one that made Kendrick Perkins make the initial tweet either.
Sure.
And then you saw the whole back and forth because somebody jumped in and said, come on, man, it's not him. And he's like, look, you know, Kevin opened the door, but Russ jumped in it. And then there was the whole talk, and that's when Durant jumped in and started bashing Perkins for his stats. So I'm not going to say that it was Durant trying to take away from what Russ's moment, because he's not the one that started the dialogue.
A fan brought his name into it, right? After and so that Kendrick would react. But again, you can react whenever you want. This is something that you could react whenever you chose to. But the fact that you threw yourself into it and it got hot and bothered and nasty on a time when Russ was going back to OKC. Russ wasn't doing anything when KD went back. Obviously different circumstances. Yeah. But I'm just saying, timing is everything in a lot of these cases, too.
But I feel like KD got drug into this. He didn't ask for it. He got drug into it.
Did he?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I think he might be invited.
He was invited. Well, I don't know if he got drug in because he decided to dance once he heard the music. There's no doubt.
Yep.
All right, we're getting ready to dance. So if you guys want to hear the music and join in, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line, call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with the K. And we were talking about basketball. Before we go to the break, if you're looking for something to do at a very reasonable price with a lot of benefit, why not check out Guys Night Out for the Rockets? The Rockets are going to be hosting the Portland Trailblazers at Toyota Center January the 15th. It's presented by Budweiser. And, of course, you know that they have Damian Lillard and McCollum and all the guys that make up the Blazers roster. But they also have Carmelo Anthony. It's going to be really interesting. Melo's first return to Toyota Center since all went down a year ago, and then he joined Portland. And that's going to be a great game to see. You can get a ticket for as low as $29 right now, and not just a ticket. For that $29, you also get your choice of a beer or a soda, a large hot dog, and a Rockets bottle opener. It's a great way to spend a night out in Houston at a really reasonable price, and it's all available for you at Rockets.com. Just go to Rockets.com and check out all of the Guys Night Out advertising, and you can follow the instructions in how you can get a $29 ticket that includes a beer or soda, a hot dog, and a bottle opener as you enjoy great game action between the Rockets and the Portland Trailblazers January the 15th at Toyota Center. Check it out. Bring some friends. Get the family. Get anybody you want to get, but they all can get in. $29, the entire package, and the Blazers and the Rockets. It's all available at Rockets.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. The road to WrestleMania begins in Houston when Minute Maid. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
But I mean, just because Beast Mode's there doesn't mean that all of a sudden he turns into a 100-yard runner. And, okay, in the red zone, he may be tough to difficult to tackle, but I think the Packers are going to have enough. I think
LSD happened to be involved. Not LSD's fault. If you've never done LSD, it's first off, I love psychedelics. It's my least favorite. It's like 10 to 14 hours. Who has the time? Hour three of an LSD trip, I'm like, you mean I get to feel like this for 8 more hours? Hour 10, I'm like, yeah, I get it. Whatever. Like, well, I gotta go to sleep to turn off these squirmies? Like, what? It's just boring.
There's our comedian of the week on an FEF Friday. Shane Moss is a guy Barry's going to give you the background on. Funny dude, Barry.
Yeah, I got to work with him last night. I was at secret group. Yeah, I was at the secret group last night, and he was on the show. He's in town, so he's got a podcast that he combines comedy and science, and they had like 200 tickets sold on Monday. So he's on a tour, and he didn't have to be in Florida until this weekend. So he's been hanging out in Houston, and, you know, we had the Drafts and Laughs show last night. Shout out to Copperhead Brewery, by the way, for putting that on. And Shane was on the show, so I was like, well, hell, I'll just make Shane Comedian of the Week. That's cool that you get a national touring headliner that's been on Comedy Central, Jimmy Kimmel, Showtime, Epics, Conan 5 times. I mean, dude's done a lot of stuff, got specials out, so really funny guy. And I was like, well, hell, we'll just make him, we'll introduce him to the peeps that maybe don't know who Shane Moss is.
Very cool. Good stuff. How did the secret?
It went great, man. It was a good show. It was a lot of fun. Fred came out and hung out.
He
and
said he was going to.
Caught the set. Yeah, he said, let me know. So I didn't know if he would come or not, you know? And he showed up and showed support. So
good deal.
Yeah, it was cool. Got to meet Maddie. He came out, one of the listeners. So
okay.
Good times.
Well, there you go. That's always good to hear. So we're going to have more clips from Mr. Moss at 2:15, 3:15. So look forward to those as we roll through an FEF Friday. And obviously F is for football for the most part for today's show. And we've got plenty to get to, but we were going back and forth and around on this whole Kevin Durant and Kendrick Perkins. Now, Kendrick Perkins, by the way, is already saying there's more to come. He's on the jump again today at 3. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to record it because he's basically out there tweeting that he's going to let it fly again. So we'll see if this is a done deal or if it's going to continue. But I just think, and again, there's a lot of tweets, and whether we'll get, maybe we'll mention it, maybe we won't, but it's worth your while to go back and look at the back and forth, because from Perkins' standpoint, he got in the comments that a lot of people have always wanted to say to Kevin Durant
about bailing on the
joining a super team, the ultimate cop out, the fact that his championship is tainted because of the way he went about his business.
Who's tanked? What?
The flip side of Durant calling out Perkins, going, "You were our starting center on that team. You averaged 3-2." and all the different the back and forth was fantastic in my mind because there wasn't a lot of holding back in terms of just calling guys out on basketball related things.
Yeah, it was a good. It just wasn't. I thought it was going to be a lot better. It was okay. I mean, it was
Nick. You.
I thought it was okay. Like I said, I thought it was okay because they're former teammates. He did say what a lot of players feel. Yeah. Some people don't feel that way, but a lot of players feel he kind of sold out. And I do think, to me, the best part of the exchange was, which I actually, the one part of Kendrick's tweets that I agree with is, I really do believe Kevin Durant struggles to sleep at night because he didn't get a championship without being on a super team like the Golden State Warriors. I think it does. I think the part of the reason why he signed with the Nets because he wants to prove that he doesn't need a super team. He can be the man and win a championship. And I do believe that bothers him at night. And I agree with Kendrick in that tweet.
Here's the thing, too. When I was talking about the unwritten rules, I mean, a lot of things with former teammates, you knew a lot of things through your years of playing, that the unwritten rule is it's none of your business to tell anybody no matter what, no matter if you guys are at odds or you're best friends. There's just things you don't air out. And when you look at Kevin Durant and Kendrick Perkins, from what I've heard, too, Kendrick Perkins, when he first got to ESPN, aired some things out about Kevin Durant that Kevin Durant thought were guy code off the record.
Former, really?
Yeah.
Like what? I
can't go into all the details on it, but safe to say there were things that, like if you and I were talking in the hallway about something that happened with one of us, family-wise or otherwise, personally, we just said, hey, just between us.
Right.
Sometimes it goes without saying. If you said something to me about Nora, I said something to you about Lisa, it goes without saying. We're just not going to air it out.
Yeah.
The fact that when Kendrick Perkins got this opportunity with ESPN, and players are different. They're guys looking for an opportunity sometimes after their playing career is over, and the best way to make a splash is to make a splash.
Well, as the world turns in Kevin Durant's soap opera of life, right?
Just play, dude.
Right?
When you play and now you're in Brooklyn and you got Kyrie and you got everything you wanted, win one now. And people will erase that whole reputation.
Just go win one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. And the last point I was going to make on that is the difference between Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook is you've never heard Russell Westbrook say one thing about their time together, anything about him, anything about the separation.
Never talked trash about him?
No trash, nothing. You could assume at the All-Star games and stuff, Russ had no love lost for him because he would still go at him 150% when they played against each other.
Right.
But he's never said a word.
Taking the high road.
Yeah. All right. We're not. So we've got just a half hour into the show, 2.5 hours to go. Plenty more to get to. Start getting into some football and things because there's, a lot to get to and some big matchups this weekend in the NFL. Of course, a big college game on Monday night. Boy, in the course of the next three and a half days, we got some football to talk about. So we'll get to all that and a whole lot more next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be in the big city, as we continue to discuss events, things.
I just got to give a shout out to my guy, Fred Fowler.
Okay.
He came out last night and supported.
We mentioned that, yeah.
And I just wanted to tell him thank you. I appreciate him. He bought me a beer. He hung out. He it was cool to have Fred come out.
Fred Fowler's down to give support when he can.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
I just wanted to make sure I formally said how much I appreciated it. Got to meet the dudes from Copper Brewery, and they were talking to Fred, and we were all comparing beers, and I was like, I don't know anything about this topic.
I was texting him during the show yesterday because he was venting about some of the bad drivers and how bad traffic is in Houston, and I thought it was a pretty good segment because we've kind of discussed that. And I texted him, and I was like, everything that you're complaining about? Like, you would absolutely hate me as a driver. Like, the last-minute cutoff guy that goes into the lane. That's totally me. He's like, you know what? I hate everybody.
So you want to talk about your text to me the other day?
They were out today, boy, trying to get here.
Yeah, because you tried to keep up, old man, and you couldn't.
First of all, wasn't trying to keep up. Didn't know
failed
we were racing.
Sir.
But then, right before he gets off on his exit, he starts braggadociously texting me like...
Last night?
The other day. He said, you can't keep up with me. You know how I am behind the wheel. Okay, you get the golden steering wheel.
But
I don't know.
You're in a Nissan Altima, so you're rocking and rolling.
This was pre-Altima.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Altima, not Ultima.
I don't care
There's
what
There's no
is.
U in it. It's an A.
Good. Well, guess what? There's going to be no JB in it in another couple of days.
I walked outside
because I don't want to drive
I was like, well, you look weird. He's like, yeah.
You thought I was in your car, didn't you?
No. Oh. No.
Okay. So, yeah.
Hey, real quick. Hey, suspects, it's overweight Pats fan. Perkins was right. KD can't sleep at night because his championship is fake.
Yeah, I would agree with that part. I don't know if it's fake.
I
wouldn't say if it's fake, but I will say
it's tainted.
He can't sleep at night. I agree with that.
I think it's tainted.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that gives you that indication is just all the other stuff. No, he never used to be bothered or offended by anything when he was with OKC.
Right.
Now, just look at when he came back before he actually tore the Achilles. When he came back, he was all sensitive about, y'all saying it's Steph's team. Y'all saying it's their team.
Yeah.
Y'all saying all this stuff about me. And then it was an arsenal on the media for a couple months. And then it was the fake burner account. And then it was, you know, every time he got sensitive about anything, the whole way he left. And he became a different person. Obviously, LeBron got scrutiny when he went to Miami. But he didn't join a super team.
He built one.
He created one. He was the pseudo general manager.
He was the third person.
Got with his boys and said, let's do this. There's nothing wrong with that.
And he was the first piece of the super team, right? Like, he was the
correct
one-third of
it. Well, D-Wade was already there.
Right, but I'm saying LeBron, I mean, come on. LeBron's better than D-Wade. But and that super team doesn't happen if LeBron doesn't go there and creates it. And so, I mean, you got to give – LeBron is the pivot point of that super team. Durant wasn't the pivot point.
No, Durant joined the team with the best regular season record in the history of the game that you had – dead to rights and couldn't put away.
Yep.
And because you were in a pissing match with your second best, your other best player in Russell Westbrook, you decide.
The best Thunder player.
You decide you're a free agent. So guess what? If you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah.
And join the best team in the league.
That's right.
I think the two biggest things that really mess with KD's head is one, getting caught with the burner account, and B, that when he left, it wasn't just fans that absolutely killed him. It was NBA players.
Yeah, that's true.
Media
that's
a good
point. That absolutely killed him. So
when you start getting crushed by your peers,
it messed with his head.
Yeah.
Yes. It really did. And I think that's the problem. And now you got Kendrick Perkins out here trying to say stuff like that. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
Kendrick Perkins likes to start. Look, this is a guy that didn't give a damn on the flight back from Vegas to Houston. Didn't give a damn that he messed up on our taxi lane. Because he had to go use the restroom right before takeoff. This is the guy that went up to two old people, senior citizens, on the flight and just moved up the armrest and said, sorry, I'm just a big dude. You're not going to have an armrest. You could approach it a bit. You could approach it nicer. And he tweeted about this. This is all documented, and I'm not making this up.
He's saltier than
you. He's a guy that likes to stir it up and cause problems.
Look at
Drake. That's his personality.
He's in street clothes, never going to play a minute in the playoffs. And he's mixing it up with Drake. And then security got to get between them because he wants a piece of them. And because he's going to town on that. He's also gone at players on other teams during the same playoff runs when he wasn't going to play. And he was just added on as an insurance policy / leader in the locker room kind of guy. Never to be counted on to do a thing. But yet he was wanting to fight. And now he's on ESPN and he's trying to make a name for himself. And he's not going to make a name for himself by being the most eloquent guy on broadcast television. But because of his experiences, both playing and in NBA circles with contacts, he could carve out a niche.
Look,
and bringing stories like this and saying things like this gets some attention.
You get a microphone and the opportunity to show out, and you can make a name for yourself. That's just period.
Absolutely.
And so he knows that his takes aren't going to be, you know, he's not going to have the best basketball takes. But if you can create some controversy, you can get just as much run. It's an old tried and true form.
And it's a part of his appeal. He doesn't necessarily have to speak eloquently, just like you said, Joel, because of his experience.
Correct.
And it is kind of funny. Like when he's kind of a dick, it's kind of funny. You know what I mean? So that works for him because of his experience and what he's known reputation-wise when he was a player.
It's funny because we're on the subject of Durant and all that and the Thunder. And Last night, obviously, Russ going back got a huge ovation.
It was classy.
The way that they handled it, you know, Matt Bullard was talking about how it brought a tear to his eye. It was emotional. It was sincere. And I was reading this article on ESPN about how Russ honored, embraced by the Thunder and fans in OKC upon his return. And in the article, they talk about the fact that they showed love. And they did it with James. They showed love to James before. They showed love to Russ, who is Mr. Thunder. Paul George, when he went back, got a really warm reception from the Thunder. But then the article even talks about the fact, and I'll quote it, it was a stark contrast to the venomous atmosphere for Kevin Durant's return.
The cupcake,
with the Warriors.
Remember? Everybody had the cupcakes out and the cupcake shirts and calling him soft cupcake. And the thing
the point is, look, the Thunder and the organization, they're all class, but, you know, Durant brought this on himself.
No doubt about it. And the thing is, the one guy that could have been deserving of it was Paul George because he asked to be traded.
Yeah.
So that if anybody was going to get booed other than Kevin Durant, it could have been Paul George. But what Kevin Durant did in, like, jumping ship, because, it was part of what he did to join the team that beat them. It was more so to say, instead of saying we can work this out, and in a lot of ways, this was Chris Paul, James Harden. In the fact that instead of working it out, someone's got to go, and he just skipped because he was a free agent. But you can't have your cake and eat it too. If that's what you're going to do, then you got to pay the price of the fact that when you come back to OKC, again, you changed the narrative on you across the board, on the court, off the court, reputation, everything, the minute you did what you were going to do. And you had to know the ramifications when you made that decision. And if you didn't and the people around you didn't tell you, then that's on them because you had to know.
The fact that he had sleepless nights before he made the decision should have been an indicator to him that this is not going to go well. The fact that he couldn't go to sleep because he was so worried about breaking the news that he was leaving OKC and signing with the super team in Golden State, that should have been. But I think to a certain extent, he knew that there was a ceiling. Most people think that if that little issue between Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant about being who's the man or not in that last year, many people believe they would have came back that next year and actually would have been a challenge or even won the championship. A lot of people believe that, but it didn't happen that way. So,
and the thing is with James, then you're right. They applauded him when he first came back.
Mm-hmm.
But then bad blood ensued with Patrick Beverly and Harden and the Rockets. And then eventually they ended up, because people are going to say, oh, they boo Harden now. They boo him now. But when the deal was first made, then Ibaka was the same way. And the other thing, when you think about it, and you were watching, obviously, the AT&T feed. I was watching ESPN or TNT last night. The interesting thing was the graphic, when you think about it. OKC had three MVPs leave.
Yeah.
All three MVPs leave. And
it is a story of what could have been.
You look at, and think about this. I was thinking about it. For the Warriors team that was constructed both internally and then when they added Durant and some pieces externally, right? But the most homegrown, organic way they could have had their own version of the Warriors if they'd have kept that unit together with Harden, Durant, Westbrook,
Ibaka.
And then if you want to keep Ibaka and some of the other pieces too. Yeah. That team was loaded.
Yep.
When you look at a team
wasted
that should have just, yeah, and obviously OKC is
a
tough market, that should have been a super team for a decade.
Yep.
So
totally agree.
That's crazy from that regard. And the other thing that people are making a big deal of, Nick, you and I talked about it a little bit before the show. I don't know what your feelings are on it, Barry, but ESPN trying to make a big deal at the end of the game where Russ was sitting on the end of the bench and there was a timeout and a huddle and D'Antoni basically kind of signaled for Harden to go down and talk to him. Game's over at that point.
Yeah, it's scrub time.
And from Russell Westbrook's standpoint, there's no bigger game in the regular season.
Yeah.
He's crushed because, sure, he led the team in scoring. Sure, he had a good night. But his intention was, I'm coming back here to give thanks, get thanks, but I'm coming back here to win a game.
I tell you what, though, my favorite thing of the whole night is when Chris Paul went five hole
on
Hartenstein.
Hartenstein.
Makes it and then walks off the court, giving it the get out
Stop
of here.
It.
I'm done.
He even said
this
you can
is
see
ridiculous.
His mouth. Stop it. I'm done.
It's like that was the best. That's what I loved watching Chris Paul do as a Rocket when he would do that. It wouldn't happen often, but God, it was so fun to watch. And even the fact that it was the Thunder, it was still awesome to see that.
I'm going
to
say this.
I loved it.
I had said, obviously, I told you guys I thought he was going to have a great year and everything, but I was kind of watching him last night because after we had the dialogue on the show yesterday about how he and Harden were going to be. But the sidebar was, how's he handling all this? Because he was part of the deal, and he was in the new city too. And boy, from the tip, he stepped up with big threes.
Yep.
He did Knocked everything. Threes, and then, like you said, and then he does that at the end offense. To kind of put the exclamation mark on it. And it's like, don't forget about Chris Paul now. Because he's playing great ball, and
yeah.
No one took more pride in that victory last night than Chris Paul.
Well, and he's got a team that's willing to listen to him. You yeah. always talk about how James was like, you can't tell me what to do, I'm better than you.
Yeah.
That's not the case with Chris Paul and this Oklahoma City Thunder team. So he can pull a young kid aside after a breakdown on offense or defense and talk to him, and
sure.
they get it. And
Shea Gilchrist Alexander is who he is.
He's in the perfect position because he can be the kind of leader he wants to be on this team, and it benefits the team and him.
Because he gets them to listen. Yeah, because you're right. Because they listen. Yeah, you're absolutely right. If you want to listen to me, I'm going to tell you right now about the people at Fitz Roofing, because we've got bad weather coming again. Maybe in the last couple of months with all the rain, you realized, I got a leak in my roof. I got to get it fixed. Or you've been thinking about putting a new roof on your house. You just don't know where to go to so that you don't have to deal with deposit thieves, sketchy roofers, and storm chasers. Well, I'm telling you, it's Fitz Roofing. FITZRoofing.com. Better yet, call them. 832-521-3001. You call them, you get a free, no-obligation inspection. They come to you, tell you what they can do. Then they go back to doing what they do the rest of the day. You want them to come back, just reach back out. They're going to do a great job before, during, and after the sale. Customer service like no other. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook at Home Advisor. They're waiting to take care of all your roofing needs. And they use the best product in the business, CertainTeed Shingles, so much so that they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Quite simply, their base warranties are longer and better than your average roofer. They're going to take care of you. And they're locally owned and operated, so they're not going anywhere because they know you aren't either. Check them out, FITZRoofing.com, or get that free no-obligation inspection, 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference, one home at a time.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you got it. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an F Yeah Friday. F for football, F for fun, F for fascinating dialogue on Twitter. Between Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. F for failure because the Rockets lost last night. But there's plenty more to get to, including F for failure for Bill O'Brien.
F for feisty.
Yeah, what the heck is going on?
F for F you.
And by
Mother
the way.
F for, boy, he went off.
He went
I love
off.
I don't mind it, though.
Here's the thing. Someone's got an axe to grind for this to come up right now with them getting ready for a playoff game for an incident that happened in the at the Denver game. There's just too many fishy pieces going on here of how this surfaced now and why.
No doubt.
Because if you're just tuning in and you've been living under a rock, video surfaced today on TMZ of Bill O'Brien leaving the field, heading to the tunnel. In the debacle that was the Denver game where they just got absolutely dominated by a bad football team. And as he reaches the tunnel amongst the boos raining down, someone yells, "You suck." To which Bill O'Brien turns around and in an expletive-filled rant drops several F-bombs and says, "You suck too, MF-er."
Screw you, MF-er. You suck too. Hey, you suck too, MF-er. My favorite part of the whole thing isn't that he did that. It's that it continued into the tunnel, like way into the tunnel. He's so far off camera, so far out of mic range, but he's still like, bleep you. You can hear him, you know, being pushed into the locker room yelling bleep you. It was amazing. I applaud Bill O'Brien for it. I'm not upset with him about it. I like it. Give
you
it
got
to
the
him.
Audio, Nick, so we can give people a little. Well, this is what it sounded like.
You
can
it.
Hear coach, because D-Hop was near him. Now, Watson was near him. Other coaches were near him.
What's crazy is that wasn't the end. The coach, he kept going. They're still walking off. He's still yelling bleep you to the guy. I don't have a problem with that. If you're going to yell from the stands, hey, you suck, your mother's a whore. Okay. People are going to respond, and you get what you deserve. And if you get cursed out by a head coach because you thought you could yell at him that he sucks and nothing would happen, well, you got what you deserve. Nobody's hurt by it.
But I'm going to tell you this.
Why is he apologizing?
Well, you're a coach in the NFL. And so you're held to a higher standard.
No, you're
it's
not.
Just like, yes, you are. It's the same thing with the NBA, with players and coaches. No matter how much the fans get on you, you're not allowed to.
Nope.
By the rules that are in place and the laws that they have put down, you're going to face scrutiny, sanctions, and fines if you choose to do what they tell you not to do. Because there are people that look up to you. And there are people that, whether you say idolize you or put you at hold you to a different standard, whether you and I understand you saying, look, he's sticking up for himself, he's going back at it, but we already know he's hypersensitive about a lot of stuff. But the fact that he's doing something like the way he went about this,
well, he just got his ass whooped in the first half too.
True,
he's frustrated.
I will say this: Charlie made a great point. The fact that he said you suck too means he was kind of owning the fact that they sucked and he sucked. Which at least to some degree is entertaining and I like.
That is kind of funny.
But I just know that you're held to a higher standard, and that's why he has to apologize, because he's going to get fined.
I don't think he's apologizing for what he did. I think he said, I used inappropriate language, mm-hmm. and I want to apologize for that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think he's apologizing for going back at the guy by saying, you suck too. I think it's the F-bombs that he dropped that he feels bad for, and he shouldn't, though. I mean, it's just... He shouldn't. But I get your point about role models. But look, you and I and Nick and in this business, you guys know, man, at some point you just get enough and you fire back. And sometimes you say mean things and sometimes you go over the top and go overboard. And, you know, we get texts and tweets all the time and people are like, whoa, man, you guys really went off. That really upset you. We're humans. Bill O'Brien is a human being.
Yeah.
And he was losing. He was getting his ass whooped. He was getting embarrassed. He was getting outcoached. His team was getting outplayed. And it just he hit a tipping point. It happens.
I was asked by Jose Partida if I was mad. I said, I'm not mad. I mean, I kind of agree with Joel in that he is held to a higher standard, so it's kind of a bad look. You're supposed to be the bigger man, but you're right. He is human. He responded. Now the movie is the video has been published. He apologizes for it. You move on. I don't think he had to apologize unless TMZ had published it and got access to it.
Yeah.
But still, I would have done the same thing. I wouldn't have apologized until the video got published. Now that it's published, hey, man, I'm sorry. I lost my cool. Well, let's move on. It was weeks ago against the sorry
That's
Broncos team.
That's the thing
team.
That bothers me.
We're in the playoffs.
Why is it coming up now? Why is it coming up and coming
TMZ
out now?
TMZ smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now it's coming up and it's like, who's doing this? Why? And here's the other thing that when I look at the whole situation in terms of O'Brien, he's the Texans are what the Rockets have always been. The Texans PR department hawks everything that's said about the Texans and Bill O'Brien and gives it to him. And I was listening to Granato and Lance this morning. Oh, no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And we have certain incidences that have popped up where they've basically, if nothing else, told us they've noticed. They know what's going on. They've read this, heard this, or know that we've said this. Rockets have done this for their entire existence, but especially with the current hierarchy that they have with the people in place. Every day, they are made aware of everything that is said about the franchise and individuals in it, positive and negative, but more so all the negatives.
God,
the Texans have taken this to the same level to where Bill O'Brien gets all these different things every day, and he knows.
Who wants to live like that, though? Could you imagine?
I don't know.
Like, this is why I tell you, you know, sometimes you and I talk about certain things and
sure.
The things that get said about you and me and the show and us. And I'm just like, just ignore. Like, it's hard to ignore it sometimes, but I wouldn't want to live my existence of, I want to know everything that's ever said about me. I just tune it out.
You turn out the noise.
I turn off Twitter. I mute accounts that get on my nerves. Sometimes you just got to just rise above it and just live your life and stop worrying about if you're the Rockets. Who cares that somebody talked bad about
you? So that's the thing.
So what?
If that's Bill Belichick running down the tunnel, you think he reacts that way? I don't.
No, probably not. But you know what? You can't expect Bill O'Brien to be Bill Belichick. Everybody has a different personality. He's a little fire. I love it. They even had him here. Once he's off camera and way down the tunnel, he still tells the dude, go the bleep home, mother bleeper. Like, he's still yelling.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
I just told you what was wrong with it.
But I don't mind that. You know me. I got a potty mouth.
But
so
it's
whatever.
One thing if it's a guy. Because, look, you know the other thing is? He's boiling for the way the game went. And he knows that he's going to have to take ownership for the way the game went.
Mm-hmm.
So he's already super pissed off.
Yep.
To where it just takes any little thing and it'll trigger it.
Yep.
But again, that's when cooler heads have to prevail in terms of how you handle it. You go in the locker room and you can unload on your team. You can unload on a wall, a cooler, whatever. But to do it to a fan and have it recorded, that's a huge issue.
You're
that's a big problem.
You're telling me that, that would never happen to you.
If I'm in his position with his title and money and exposure, I can tell you that it wouldn't happen with me.
I don't believe that.
I can tell you.
I know you. I know how feisty you are.
You know me who I am, but you didn't know me when I was doing Rockets games. And I knew there were many times when, positive and negative, I wanted to, I was going to, and I didn't. For the simple reason of, you got to consider who the position you're holding, the scrutiny you're under. It changes everything, bro.
Everybody has a breaking point, though.
I disagree with that.
This doesn't affect him, his job, his... I cursed, and I probably shouldn't have cursed. No big deal. It's not that big of a deal.
I just think it's funny. This goes back to a thing where I was asked to MC a gala, and I wanted you to do it with me. And then as part of it, I told you that Bill O'Brien may be present. And I warned you that because he and the public relations department over there are so hypersensitive, they're going to know everything that you and I have ever said about Bill O'Brien.
Uh-huh.
And that he was going to probably be fired up if he saw us.
Well.
And that's just one of those things.
Oh, well.
Because I know from a Rockets perspective, I've told you this. It started with the Van Gundy era.
Tell him to go find somebody else that's been defending him that doesn't work for 6'10". I defended Bill O'Brien on this very show. Don't give me that.
Barry, just because you defend him once doesn't mean that you're his guardian angel.
He can suck it. I've defended him. If he don't like it, the truth hurts.
You know what he's got to say to you?
What?
Let me just run that audio back again.
Go
if
the
you
bleep
want.
Home, yeah. Mother bleeper. Yeah. Yeah, that's what he's got to say.
You
that's
suck
fine.
Too.
You suck too, Laminack. I probably do, sir. Probably
all right, our number one's in the books. We still got two more to go with the big show. Hotel guys in the building. That means that our man Steve is going to join us at 2:30 to talk about the road trip to KC. Probably working in some barbecue if that's the case. And a whole lot of other things to get to. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.